to how I feel like this is a topic where I'm standing at the very bottom of this huge mountain. Like, there's no way we could cover all of the different ways that people view God. But some of the most common are a distant father and a father who abandons. So I think it's important to know that no matter what you think about God in your head, the way you feel about God in your heart is going to be the most important thing. Because you can know all the facts, what the Bible says, but how you feel about him and how he's present in your life, you know, that's ultimately going to dictate your view.
Welcome. You're listening to the Love That Surpasses podcast, and I'm your host, Sarah Lowry.
And I'm your co-host, Megan Bushalon.
Take a seat and join in as we share our hearts and experiences surrounding parenthood, disabilities, and God's calling on our lives to live victoriously, fearlessly, and free.
You'll hear conversations about expectations, grief, jealousy, but also surrendering our lives and stepping into our God-given purpose with courage.
We're so glad you're here today, and we hope you feel abundantly loved, because, well, you are.
Hi, welcome to our season finale episode. We're so glad you're here. As always, be sure to leave us a review and share with your friends and family. If this podcast has really touched your life, it can touch others too. We would like to open this final episode in prayer. Megan, would you like to open us in prayer?
I would love to. All right. Lord, thank you so much for just this beautiful journey that we've been on. We have been able to do 9 wonderful episodes, and now we're doing a final one. And it's truly been an honor and a privilege to be able to have these conversations with Sarah and to be able to put it out there for others, and getting the responses that we have, and that it's been blessing people and it's been encouraging people. And Lord, we just ask that we continue to do that through this final episode, and that and lead us into season 2, God. And I ask that you just open up the hearts of those who are listening to this episode, that you encourage them, and then you take this conversation and you take it further, and help them to light that candle in their life and to continue to light other people's candles, so that we can illuminate the world and we can shine in the darkest places of the world, Lord. And I ask all these things in your name. Amen.
I would like to add one more thing to that prayer.
Yeah, go for it.
Father, thank you for this topic that you've placed on our hearts to share. We just ask that you help us glorify you in this conversation. And that it would be apparent that this would be from you, Lord, and that you would shine brightly. Amen.
Amen. That was a good P.S.
P.S. God.
P.S. 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 Okay. Yeah. So let's jump in it. So what is the topic, Sarah? We've talked a little bit about this before we jumped on.
Yeah. So it's just been on my heart that, you know, we can say all of these ways and unveil all these areas of hardship in our lives, like the anger and feeling like we're in this desolate pit and feeling like, you know, jealous of other people. We can try to
overcome forgiving others and ourselves. It. Yeah.
Yeah. But really, to truly accept and move into that stage, you have to have a firm foundation. And out of a previous recent conversation, I had someone tell me, well, God's just not been very good to me in my life. I believe in God, but he's not been very good to me. And it just was like an aha moment for me. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, it doesn't matter what I tell you has helped me overcome all these things. If your perception of who God is that he's not good, then that foundation isn't there and everything else crumbles. Like you are in sinking sand still.
And there's a totally different conversation that's to be had.
Yeah.
Normally you'd approach like, okay, well, here's what I've done. Here's what I've walked through. This is my story. But it's a totally different conversation when you're coming from a place of someone who views God as separate, as not as intimate with us, who, you know, who picks and chooses who he's with and who he answers. As some people believe it has to do with their acts of service or things that they do and accomplish in this world to be deemed enough. And so it's a totally different conversation. So so walk me through that. What does that conversation look like?
Oh gosh.
You wrote about this because you wrote about this. It was an answer to this statement. And, it actually has been put into a form of devotional. So, and that'll all come out later, but I think it's important to kind of touch a little bit on that and, you know, tell us a little bit about how to answer that question when someone says that, because I know I've heard that, like I've had people come up to me in conversation and have said things like, oh yeah, you know, Jesus doesn't really care about me too much, or like, oh, he hasn't been too nice to me. You know, jokingly, but it's very obvious there's a clear indication of how they view God.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important. There's a lot of Christians out there who feel this way, and there's depending on your family and how you grew up, a lot of times we associate as God the Father with, you know, the love that we received from our own father and our own family. So and I read about this in my devotional too, how I feel like this is a topic where I'm standing at the very bottom of this huge mountain. Like there's no way we could cover all of the different ways that people view God. But some of the most common are a distant father and a father who abandons. So I think it's important to know that no matter what you think about God in your head, the way you feel about God in your heart is going to be the most important thing. Because you can know all the facts, what the Bible says, but how you feel about him and how he's present in your life, you know, that's ultimately going to dictate your view. Mm-hmm. So, how do we get to this place where we feel God is loving and he's there and he's speaking all the time? You know, and I think that path looks different for everyone. I think the most important one we should talk about is the one who we feel like people who feel like God has abandoned them. Mm-hmm.
So what I would say to that personally, I continue to face things in my life. I continue to go through circumstances, some tough, some harder than anything I've ever gone through. Some are just kind of ups and downs. I mean, this is life. We go through things. And the devil loves to take those really stressful, distracting situations and kind of come in and say, well, are you sure? And those are the moments where I really have to take a step back and say, okay, this is who I know God to be. This is who he has been in my life. This is what he has done. There's evidence of that in my life. Like it's really to look at this. It's easy to look at the situation right here in front of me and say, whoa, this is scary. Where is God? He's not here. He feels distant. He's not answering me. But in reality, he has, and he always will. And there have been situations where I've really felt that. And then, you know, later on, I'm like, you were there all along. I see it now. And so it's just having this, taking a moment, taking a step back outside of this fear and outside of this worry and this doubt that the devil tries to just completely consume you with, step out of that and recognize the character of God, recognize who he has been in your life, who he, not just who he's been in the Bible to some of these different characters, but how he's shown up in your personal life, how you've seen him show up in other people's lives, and remember them in those really tough moments and lean in further on who God is, you know, look at like, you know, hey, God's infinite. Like he is before all things. He's in all things. He holds all things together. He's completely and totally infinite. And that has been shown in so many aspects. I know from my personal life where I'm like, you knew that this was coming long before I did. You knew this was going to be a part of my story long before I did. And what I thought in that moment was that this is pure hell. I'm in hell. Like, this is terrible. How, God, why would you let this happen to me? Have I not done enough? Like, how have I not been faithful? Why is this okay to happen to me? And I come out on the other side of that many times. Like we talked about it last episode. Why do I even question anymore? Because it's always proven to be, he's proven to be so good so many times. And it's hard to see that in the moment sometimes because we're wrapped up in our suffering. We're completely wrapped up in it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people blame God for suffering. Even C.S. Lewis, he wrote this book when his wife was going through cancer and he was just watching her die and suffer. And he said, you know, I'm not tempted to disbelieve that there is a God. What I'm tempted to believe is this part of his character. Mm. So I think I see that so much in working with, you know, children and families who their child is diagnosed with cancer. There's so much suffering. And, you know, it, the more times I've seen parents just totally walk away from God because they just think, how could he allow this to happen? And, you know,
I think that's where they stop. Like,
yeah,
you stop there. You hit that wall and it's so big and it's so horrible that it's like, this is it. This is surely it. This is who God is. But once you lean and you push on that wall, you really find the truth. And I think that's where I would encourage someone is to say, okay, ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Who is God really? Like, you know, there have been situations where I've read things in the Bible and I'm like, whoa, God, that was kind of, are you sure? Like, that seems really kind of scary. Like, why would you, you know? So like, dive deep into that. What does God really mean? And what is he really doing here? And what's the, you know, I feel like for me, that's helped me in those kind of situations is to look at it further, to take a step further, ask those tough questions and ask God, like, help me understand this because this is terrible. And I don't want to believe that this is who you are, but this is what I'm seeing. This is all I'm seeing. So take me further, help me understand. And you'll find the answers.
Well, it's very prevalent in the Bible that death and suffering is not from God. Mm. He may allow it, but it is not from him. It is not his character. In fact, he loved us so much that he came in Christ, human man, you know, mankind form, to suffer alongside of us and die for us and conquer that grave and that death so we could always have life with him. Mm-hmm. And I love this verse in 2 Corinthians. And it says, we always, this is 2 Corinthians 4:10 through 12. And it says, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body, so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then death is at work in us, but life in you. So as believers, we receive that life even through that death and that suffering. And God ensured that we were given life because he loves us that much. So while it's prevalent, in this world and in this life, he is always present through it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, and it's really easy to look at that as like, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins, you know, great. But no, Jesus took on all sin. He took on all things on the cross. He experienced it. He felt it fully. And
so even he knows, he asked us, God, why?
He did. And that's where I'm getting to. He asked, he said, God, why have you forsaken me? Mm-hmm. He felt abandonment. He felt that moment of just that heavy, immense, immense pain, where it was so horrible. He even began like, why, God? So he, even to that point, he knows what that feels like. He knows what we feel. And isn't it great that we have a God who knows us that way? And knows exactly what we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point. That was the point of dying on the cross for our sins. It was so much more to say, hey, I paid for it all. Don't worry about it. It's so much more than that, because it was a moment for him to say, I fully know you. The deepest, the most hurt that you've ever felt, I know that and what that feels like. So he can be with us, and he can cry with us. He can sit with us. He can speak to us and encourage us and love us. And that's the whole point of him dying on the cross for us that day.
And I think that brings like to the next point, you know, there are some people who they feel differently about Jesus, and they are like, yes, he came, he did so many good things, and he healed people, and they feel closer to Jesus, and they still feel like the Father, God, abandoned them, or that God's distant. Well, God's just distant. He's a distant dad. And, you know, even the disciples felt like that. And, I talked about that too in John 14. Mm-hmm. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus replied, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip?
Yeah.
For whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So it's just so beautiful. Like you said, he loves us that much. He's a hands-on Father. He's always there. Mm-hmm. That he came and experienced and suffered, and it just...
Well, and if you take it further, that's what I mean by don't stop. Like, don't stop there. Take it further. It's like in the Bible, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? Why are you not helping me? You know, I cry to you by day and you do not answer. And by night, and I find no rest. Yet, it goes on to say, yet you are holy. Yet it is you who took me from the womb, you who kept me safe, you who rescued me. Even though it felt that way, so much so that he felt like he was abandoned, he knew that he wasn't, that God did not forsake Jesus, that God did not forsake his people, that God would never abandon him. He's faithful. He's committed. He has a covenant with us, and he knows that to be true. So though he felt that, he knew it to not be true.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
We're gonna have to cut bits and pieces. We're just like, wow, because we're having revelations ourselves. We're like, yes, that's so true. Because again, I talk about this, we still go through stuff, we still deal with things, we still encounter these really tough situations where it's easy to go, the world's ending. Like, this is the most horrible situation I've ever been in. God, how could you?
It's easy to think like I've been dealt this really terrible hand in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for a lot of people to know to stop and go further and lean on him instead of stopping and abandoning God completely in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Which is why it's so important to, you know, equip ourselves and to know God's character and to understand who he is fully, so that when we are faced with those situations, we can see through that fog, we can see past the wall, you know, we're able to walk through it and stay steadfast in our faithfulness and prayer and our hope in who he is. And eventually we will be on the other side of that.
One of my favorite things about the healing ministry, the healing prayer ministry, is we encourage people to hear from God in those moments. So for instance, you know, when you're praying, you're reflecting on that moment and you're asking Jesus out loud, Jesus, can you show me where you are in this moment? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, give me a word, give me a picture. Where were you? What were you doing? And just waiting for him to speak. And it is through him speaking about where he was in those moments and what he was doing that that pain of that memory and that moment, he completely heals it. Mm-hmm. You can look back at those memories and you see Jesus. And he's actually done this for me. I've prayed this and, you know, he's shown me where he was. And one of the times it was my most favorite is when I was giving birth to Emmett, and you know, just all that fear and that buildup of walking through that prenatal diagnosis. And I'm in this delivery room and I'm thinking my son might have to have heart surgery when he's 3 or 4 days old. My son might have to go to the NICU. Like, he might need all this stuff, and just like not knowing what was about to come. And so kind of feeling like once he was there, it was joyful, but kind of feeling like the birth part of it was still a little traumatic. So I prayed that, and you know what I saw? I saw Jesus delivering Emmett, and all the angels were in the room and they were singing and praising. And it was this joyous moment when Emmett, was born, and Jesus holding and catching Emmett when he was born. And it just gave me like so much healing of, you know, even more so of just his birth. So it's doing things like that, those kind of exercises and hearing from God that really bring healing and he will show you who his character is and what he was doing in those moments, and that he was always and is always good.
I think too, even recognize the situation itself and what it really is, in the grand scheme of things, because I think oftentimes, I mean, what you just said, situations I've had in my life, I really can look back and say, you know, it was really just being in a place of unknown, like being fearful of the unknown. And it was my knowing of God that brought me through it. So it's like, I feel like this fear of the unknown really rules all fears. Like, it really puts, absolutely, like, it does. It is like the umbrella of all fears. And it sort of takes you into this place of, it's a very human experience. It's very like, I don't know what's ahead. I can't look to the future. I don't know what to expect. I've never been through this. You feel paralyzed emotionally, spiritually. And that is a place where a lot of people stop, because that unknown is too hard. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talk about knowing the character of God and resting in him and who he is and knowing him. Because when there is the unknown, God is,
he the is known.
The known, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to be afraid of the unknown, because God knows. He's all knowing. We just lean on him, rest in him, and trust that he knows what we don't, and we don't have to worry about that.
I love that. That was actually our sermon this past Sunday, and just
really
on, Romans 8, and just focusing in times of trial, which we all are seeing right now all over the media and all over social media. You know, I don't think we're meant to know everything that's out there. Like, the fear of that is more than we can handle. as mm-hmm. humans, and to, you know, instead of going on Google and Wikipedia and researching like, oh, the more I know, the more like safe I'll be. But that's not true. What we need to do is just focus on God's kingdom, and nothing surprises God, and he is all knowing, and he's always there, and he's all loving, and focusing and holding on tightly to his kingdom, we are unshakable.
See, you're leading up to what we've been talking about outside of this, which is positioning ourselves on, you know, what we're focusing on. And I recently felt prompted to read the book of Numbers. Yes, the book of Numbers. It's pretty relatively boring in some aspects, but honestly, there's some really interesting things in there. Like the fact that God told them to position their tents a certain way. And one of the ones that was like the leading tent was to position themselves to the east side, facing the rising of the sun. And there's such symbolism in that. And it talks about positioning ourselves, focusing on God. And I don't want to get super into this, but like it's very Old Testament language, talking about the rising of God, right? When God rises, and it talks about the rise and the fall, and when Jesus died on the cross. And so that language changes after God, you know, Jesus comes down and dies on the cross for our sins. The rules change. That's why we have the old covenant, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it really ultimately leads towards this act of, I'm focusing on you, God. You're the one that I start with and I end with, and I'm going to position myself to focus on you, and you lead the way. And ultimately that there's that trust there, this full trust in who God is and who his character is. And ultimately that's where hope comes from. And that's where we find peace. And that's where we find us exactly where we're supposed to be, where God wants us. And it doesn't mean we're not going to go through trials. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go into battle. I mean, that's exactly where God was positioning them the way that they were. They were going to go into battle before they even got to the promised land. Like, mm-hmm. And so, but if we position ourselves in the way that God asks us to position ourselves, it's all going to work itself out, essentially.
Well, because like in Romans 8, it says, if God is for us, then who can be against us?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing stands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I know. It's like it's funny because like we're basically having conversation. All our conversations from the week is really coming together in this episode.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was intended really.
That was not planned.
No, like we both have been having different conversations about what God's speaking to us in our lives currently. And so when we came into this episode, we're like, how do we really like wrap this all up? And here we are just like, wow, God's been like speaking to so many aspects. It's just interesting how that works, how God works. So this blessed me. I don't know about y'all who are listening, but this blessed me for sure.
It's definitely blessed me too. Do you want to end it in a prayer?
Yeah, let's go for it. I started you in the prayer. Well, UPS. So technically you pray less, but I'll let you pray. I'll let us close this out.
Dear Lord, thank you so much that we are able to put forth the message that you want to deliver to your people. We are your vessels, Lord, and we pray your anointing over this episode, and it really speaks and blesses someone. Thank you, God, for always providing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And if you made it this far to episode 10, thank you so much for being a part of this with us. This was our first season and it was really cool. And we're excited to go into season two. Yeah. So
season two, we're going to be bringing in more guests. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a form that you can fill out if you want to be a guest to be considered. Just look for that form.
If you want to stay in the know and keep updated, subscribe to that newsletter. We'll announce when all that stuff's available for everyone and what to look forward to in season two. So all that will be coming, but that's a great place to stay informed. Where else can they find us, Sarah?
You guys can follow the ministry on Instagram at Love That Surpasses Ministries. My personal one is at Love That Surpasses. And then you can always check out our website, www.lovethatsurpasses.org. Yes. Where can they find you, Megan?
You can find me on Instagram, Megan Bushalon. And then I do have other channels, but that's mainly where I'm at. And we're always sharing everything from the ministry to each other's pages. So you'll find us. But stay connected with us, and we look forward to seeing you in season 2.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.